Welcome back here on the Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Good to have you guys with us here as we return from our vacation. We have Doug Danger with us this hour from the Orange County Courier to talk about the Emmys last night. And I everybody wants to talk about the Emmys. Everybody wants to talk about the Oscars. Everybody wants to talk about the Tonys.
But what are Tonys? That's like on a play.
Yeah, the Tonys are like Broadway.
The Tonys are really, if you want to get... The Tonys are the most prestigious of all of... What?
Prestigious?
Yes, prestigious. That is the... Again, if you want me to... It's the French.
Why do you always do the French?
I told you already, bud. Don't keep asking me like you're a redundant... Someone put a bike helmet on him and...
Take it easy, will you, Margaret?
No, I don't want to have to stop down and explain to him things I've already explained.
All right. Okay, it's the French pronunciation. It's the French, huh?
Yes, it's the French, huh? Yes, Phil, it's the French. Prestigious or prestigion. Okay? And the Tonys are... See, now I'm self-conscious because now I know all three of you are looking at me like I'm one big ass. And I know that I'm not, and I know...
No, we're not looking at you like that.
Yes, you... What's he looking at?
Well, you are talking about being French and everything.
I know, I didn't say I'm being French. I said the French... God...
She didn't say being... Why don't you just quit making everything into a big display of culture and erudition, Margaret? Just go ahead and say it, okay? If it's French, it's French. Bud, shut up.
Thank you. And excuse me, but you caused this. Now then. Don't wave the...
God, I'm getting the belch smell out of here.
Quit it, will you?
You see how he embarrasses me, and he does it on purpose. He loves it when I belch, so he can embarrass me.
Margaret, you got it backwards. You belch, you embarrass yourself.
You guys caused it by asking me about prestigious.
What is that, a dinosaur?
I mean prestigious. The Tony... Oh, may I finish?
Go ahead.
The Tony Awards are Broadway. Do you know what Broadway is? Have you ever heard of Broadway? Do you even conceive? This is where the great stage presentations of our time were created, were displayed, were performed for millions of people. And I was the understudy of Julie Andrews.
Well, here we go with Camelot.
Yeah.
I hope you die with blood in your mouth. I do.
Wow! What a nasty, nasty woman.
Well, then, don't talk on the...
All right, sorry.
And I was the understudy when I sang How to Handle a Woman. You remember that song?
Yeah, and I remember it's sung by a man.
Yeah.
Are you saying... So what are you saying? I'm a man?
No, did you sing that song? Because that's a song sung by a male part. That was sung by Lancelot. He was singing that about Guinevere.
Well, I sang it about Lancelot.
How to Handle a Woman.
Yes. Because Lancelot, if you want the honest truth, was a F-A-G. I got to get some air.
There she goes.
There she goes. You sound like a little girl, Phil.
Fine. I mean...
I want to get somebody. She said she sang a song, How to Handle a Woman, about a Lancelot. Yeah, she said Lancelot was a F-A-G.
That's right.
Well, all right. So Lancelot, and that's something the audience didn't know, so you came out and you sang How to Handle a Woman about Lancelot, even though you're a woman and he's a man.
That's right. Got that? Anything else I can clear up for you?
No, that's got it. All right, Doug Danger is going to be on the line with us here. I don't understand how that... So, thanks a lot for that clarification. Lancelot was a, you know... Lancelot was gay. All right. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you can get the download of yesterday's Pro Game of the Week, Steve Bozell and Ted Bell, and what an absolute butcher job they did on that game, which, of course, means it was fantastic. What game was it, Robert?
Well, Indianapolis Colts and the San Francisco 49ers, man, they carved it up a new one. Yeah, Ted Bell and Steve Bozell.
All right, so Ted Bell and Steve Bozell, the pro game of the week. It's available for download at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Broadcasting that game from the Hendry Radio Complex, which is where we are right now. All right, Doug Danger joining us from, well, it's from his car somewhere between Santa Ana and Newport Beach tonight, where he lives. Doug, how are you tonight?
Real good, Phil.
You got the niece and nephew?
I do. I got my brother's kids, so I'm getting home a little bit late here tonight, but I think they've already cooked some dinner and maybe watch a movie or something. Kids have got some time off because of teacher-parent conferences or something.
Where are the folks?
My brother and his wife she's a nurse, and she goes once a year to a conference in Chicago. So I always take the kids. Sometimes the kids, they have them go with their grandparents, but they want to come over to their uncle's house.
So, Doug, the Emmys were on last night, and they gained another third in viewership. Neil Patrick Harris was the host. Neil Patrick Harris, by the way, a very nice guy and a young man who achieved such success there, albeit, if you will, not very critically acclaimed, but nonetheless great success with this Doogie Howser character. And now, of course, How I Met Your Mother. He's been on stage in Rent and other presentations. He's a guy that's really got the chops as an actor, doesn't he?
Well, I think so, that Neil Patrick Harris. The only problem with Neil Patrick Harris that I see, Phil, is the following. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've spent a lot of time, working my way up through the ranks and fighting my way up through the ranks and fighting the discrimination and fighting the bigotry and segregation and all that other stuff. I'm always wanting to go to the civil rights terms, but I think you know what I mean. Drinking fountains and things like that.
Well, the gay people, there's never been a separation of drinking fountains for gay people.
Well, the only reason why they haven't had that is because how are they supposed to do that? Gay people drink here, and you don't want to know who's gay. See, that's the problem. If black folks, if no one knew you were black, then there wouldn't have been no separation of drinking fountains and clothing areas and stuff like that. But that's the unfortunate part of the racial problem in America, is that you knew who was what. And you couldn't say, well, I'm out of the closet. I'm black, but I'm coming out of the closet. So really what gay folks are, what we ask of each other as gay people is really counterproductive in a lot of ways. Because what we're saying is, just imagine if it was skin color. Now, a lot of you guys are black, but you're in the closet, and everybody thinks you're white. But we want you to come out black and start being black. Well, who's going to do that? Who's going to come out of the closet and say, okay, hi, I'm black. I think I'll start drinking at this drinking fountain here and get my ass kicked in every other way. Nobody's going to do that.
Yeah, but that doesn't make any sense.
Why not?
Well, they're different problems. I mean, for one thing, what is it that makes a... What would it be that would make a black guy be in the closet?
Skin color.
Yeah, the color of his skin.
The color of his skin?
Yeah. If you're in the closet, no one can see your skin color.
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying.
What? What are you talking about? If you're in the closet, no one can see your skin color.
Imagine, Phil, if there was a closet that could blanket out.
Yeah, if you went into the closet and then you turn white.
Okay, but why wouldn't a black guy... Let me ask you this. If you're black and you could hide being black by going into the closet... And then you'd be white, okay?
That's correct, yeah.
What exactly are you repressing then? You're repressing skin color. I understand that. But then what else are you repressing? Robert, you're black. Tell me what you would be repressing by having your skin turn white.
What are you talking about repressing?
I'm talking about, in other words, if you're gay and you go into the closet, that means you're hiding certain, for instance, sexual practices. Am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean,
yeah, you're hiding about that you have sex with a guy.
Yeah, you're hiding that. If you're in the closet, you're going to want nobody to know that.
Doesn't mean you're not still having sex with a guy.
It doesn't mean that, but you have to be far more circumspect, if you will. You have to be far more. Look, we got to take a break, okay?
Don't feel like you're always taking a break every time you don't know what you're talking about. And
no, wait a second, man. I know exactly what I'm talking about. We get back. I guarantee you, I'll make it very... I think I have made it clear.
Are you trying to say that you can't go in... If I go into the closet and I'm black, I ain't coming out gay. That's not what you're saying, right?
No, I'm not saying that at all. Hold on for just a minute. If we get down that road again, I'm going to start swinging on people.
What are you talking about?
Every time I do something like this, one of you guys tries to purposefully confuse it.
That kind of purposely confused. You're the guy that said, how do you go in a closet and you're black?
I did say that, yeah. Because if you go into the closet, if you're a black guy, you go into the closet and you're now white. Okay, fine. What's the sweat? What's the big difference? The only thing that's changed is skin color. Am I right or am I wrong? That's why I asked Robert, because he happens to be black, and he would know, and you don't even know what I'm talking about, do you?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about now. You say, if I go into the closet and I'm black, what am I changing? Skin color? And you say, what else?
Yeah, what else?
I mean, I don't think I'd be near as, I don't think I would be as interesting.
You wouldn't be as interesting. Okay, now there's a place to start, right there. Right there.
What? What are you talking about? You're an idiot. You're an idiot, man.
Hold on for a minute. We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. We're online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. First day back from a vacation. It's a beautiful thing. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. On the line with me here is, well, actually, nobody on the line with... Yeah, Doug Danger, I'm sorry, is with us here. Doug talking to us from Orange County, California tonight as we continue our discussion on the Emmys last night. Although we've gotten into this whole thing on culture, and you're talking about the gay experience in America, the gay person's experience in America, Doug, whether we talk of a gay man or a lesbian. You're talking about Neil Patrick Harris, and then we got around to you, and I was simply saying, aren't you proud of Neil Patrick Harris and what he's achieved as a gay man?
Well, look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right, and what I've had to deal with in my life, I've had to eat untold buckets of you-know-what to get to where I am. Neil Patrick Harris is a TV star, and he come up at a time when things were, I think, a little bit easier for gay people. Now, I'm not saying that Neil Patrick Harris hadn't had it easy, but I am saying that I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I don't hear him coming out and saying he's a gay man, gay actor, and I don't blame him. I don't think you can do that and not, you know, gain a lot of resentment there. But I think, at the same time, I'm tired of hearing about this. I'm tired of hearing about how I'm gay and she's gay and he's gay.
Yeah, but what about you? You always say you're gay.
I'm trying to tell you, if you guys will listen to me, that's different. I'm saying I'm a gay man and a gay journalist because of what it has meant to me in my career in being able to be a better journalist. And also I'm saying that I'm a gay man and a gay journalist because I reserve unto myself the right to have that sort of unique qualification or that unique presentation in order to make myself stand out a little bit more in my career. I'm not a movie star. I'm not a TV actor. You know?
But what are you talking about that as some kind of a badge or some kind of a come-on?
Not a come-on. What do you mean by a come-on?
Well, when you say I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, you're saying, well, I'm using that as a unique presentation because I'm not an actor, because I'm not a movie star, because I don't have the cachet. You're not using the word cachet, but I'm hearing you say that those people have.
Well, to some degree. But what I am saying is, Neil Patrick Harris, he doesn't have to say, hi, I'm Neil Patrick Harris, and I'm a gay man and a gay actor, because everybody knows who he is from Doogie Howser. He didn't have to break too much of a sweat to get to the front of the line, if you will, in Hollywood celebrity status. All he had to do was go on television and play some snot-nosed kid. And I say that with all due respect. He played some snot-nosed kid, a completely unbelievable part, as a 15-year-old doctor. You know, some wunderkind, some guy with a big brain, someone with a head with a skull that's abnormally large, or not literally, but that's what you would imagine, sitting there with his big skull, and he's 15 years old with a stethoscope. I don't think anybody's going to sit still for a physical exam. I think you're looking for a way out of that office, and you go through the air conditioning duct.
Whoa, hold on. What are you talking about now?
Doug Bob Doogie, how's he having an abnormal skull?
I'm saying if you're 15 and you're that kind of a genius, you got one of those light bulb shaped heads that the aliens have, right?
Whoa, hold on for a minute. Are you talking about the show he was in?
Yeah, I'm talking about the show he was in.
He didn't have a, what do you mean a light bulb shaped head?
Doogie Howser.
Yeah, what about him?
Doogie Howser didn't have no light bulb shaped head. He was a regular sized kid.
I know he was a regular-sized kid. I'm not talking about him not being a regular-sized kid. I'm saying if the kid's a 15-year-old wunderkind, a genius, he's a doctor, he's bound to have a head that looks like a squash or something. That's all I'm saying.
Well, he didn't, man. He didn't.
That's why that show was no good. And that's why I think Neil Patrick Harris had a much easier time of it climbing the ladder of fame in Hollywood. Nobody's critically appraising these things he was doing because he was so cute and he was so, he was so interesting because he was gay. He was a gay man and he was a gay freak, you know. I don't know.
You're sounding a little frustrated here.
Well, I am a little frustrated.
About what?
You just said you're all frustrated.
Hey, look, man, don't even start. If you tell that Dickman to back way the hell off of me, man, okay? Tell him to back off.
Doug, Bud, don't do it, okay?
You just call me Doug.
I know. Don't do it, Bud. Don't start with the lisping thing.
Yeah, he starts with that lisping thing. I'll hang this phone up. I'll get in my truck, which is already being warmed up out on the driveway, and he knows what that means.
I didn't mean anything by it.
All right.
We don't need to threaten each other. We don't. I mean, this doesn't have to get out of control. I mean, all I'm asking about, is Neil Patrick Harris. I asked you, are you proud of him? You're having a hard time saying you are because you don't need to know that he's gay. I mean, he is a gay actor who has achieved quite a bit. Perhaps it's nothing to make note of, but it does seem to be something we're doing at this particular juncture in America's history. We are celebrating people who heretofore have not been celebrated, whether they're disabled, whether they're women, whether they're gay, whether they're what have you. We're saying, here is a segment of society that we have cut out of our history up to this point. Well, now we're putting them back into the American historical mural.
Yay! That was fantastic. I like that a lot.
I just came in from, as you know, I was outside. I was smoking a White Owl, Phil. That was absolutely beautiful.
Here.
Thank you. Doug?
All right, well, I'm sorry, Phil. I'm not going to brown nose you like the rest of them. I didn't think it was that good.
Well, I'm not asking for you to applaud.
Well, you went, Doug? Like you were waiting for me to add by. Okay, here you go. Yay! Oh, man, I'm having an orgasm.
All right, I'm not asking for that. I'm asking you, don't you agree?
I don't think I agree 100%. I think that we're done celebrating all of the minorities in this country. Let's now be a country. Okay? And let's get back to this question that you asked, Robert, or Phil, or whoever asked the question. If I come leaping out of the closet, if I'm black and I went into the closet to be white, okay?
All right, now this is the one that...
Hold on for a minute, man, because I'm not done. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right? Now let's say I'm a black man, and it's inconceivable for me to be a black... I'm a black and a, let's say I'm a black gay man and a black gay journalist. That part I can get with, okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. I go into the closet, I'm neither black or gay. Now I'm what?
You're just white.
Yeah, just a white man and a white man journalist.
Okay, I'm white. All right, now I come out of the closet. No, I mean, I'm in the closet. That means I can't act gay and I can't act black. Okay?
What do you mean act black? That's the thing.
Well, wait. See, this is the whole thing that I was saying. This is the stupid thing about what you said originally. We go into the closet as a black guy. All right, fine. You go into the closet. Now you're no longer black. Your skin's white. But what else have you repressed?
Why? Well, if you go, well, ask Robert about that.
Robert?
You ought to ask me. I tell you, I don't have black, and I wouldn't be as interesting.
What do you mean you ain't going to be as interesting? That's vague. You can't be vague.
Take it easy, bud. You're spitting all over me.
Yeah, man.
I'm sorry.
What are you talking about? If you go into the closet and you are and you're not black, you're not as interesting anymore. You become a boring white man?
Yeah, pretty much that's it.
All right, I would go with that. Although I do, you know, I'm from the South. I do take a little bit of exception. What do you mean boring white? I mean, on one hand, I do accept that. On the other hand, I feel a little offended by that because that means that I'm not as interesting as a black guy if I was straight. But I'm gay.
You know, you guys get tied up in more bullcrap than I've ever heard in my life. If you would just stick to the point instead of this nonsense...
What nonsense are you talking? He said that...
I know what he said. If he goes into the closet and he's black and now he's white because he's in the closet, And then he comes out of the closet, and, you know, you cats make no sense at all. None at all. And this argument about, Robert, you're less interesting. All right, that's fine. I don't want to talk about being in the closet for as a black. There's no such thing as being in the closet as a black guy.
No, yeah, he said there was, man. I sort of agree with him.
Get out of here. You're not going to go, hi, I'm in the I'm black. I think I'll go in the closet. That way I can pass as white. I'll be less interesting and I'll be white. If I come out of the closet, I'm black and I'm really interesting. Is that it?
That's racist.
That ain't racist, man. That's just my observation. Mr. Henry asked me what I thought about that, and I think I thought.
What?
I said you asked me what I think I thought about that, and that's what I thought I think.
Yeah, you're an idiot.
Shut up. World famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445. We'll be right back with Doug Danger and more on the Emmys, if we ever get to it here, on the world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Good. I just dumped all the coke right all over the top of this copy. That's great.
Nice move.
You're welcome. Anyway, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com as well, and also online here. I just said philhenryshow.com, and also on the air here across the country on so many great affiliates. Pardon me, folks, while I just dumped the Diet Pepsi off of my news copy.
You're the guy to put it there.
Did I say anybody else did? No, you're right. I'm blaming myself. See, this is why we were told as very young broadcasters, don't bring anything that you drink or can spill into the studio.
That's exactly right.
The only difference is I own all this equipment now, so I guess, you know.
Yeah, you're the guy going to take the hit.
That's right. I am the guy that's going to take the hit, so there you go. Maybe that's what it was all about for me, eventually reaching the point in my career where I owned all this stuff, and so I can do whatever the hell I want to do. One thing I don't do anymore is smoke, so we can dispense with that.
That really gums up the works, doesn't it?
Cigarette smoke? Oh, yeah. Nicotine, cigarette smoke. It gets into these modules here. And I'll say, I don't want to get too much into that because we have Doug Danger, who is hanging on the line with us here from the Orange County Courier. And we're also talking about the Emmys last night. We also have Cal Wadd on the line from the National Family Council. And Cal has been a longtime contributor on our program. Shouldn't say longtime contributor. He has been a contributor, and we'd like to work him in a little bit more on our program. He's on our newsmaker line right now. Cal, good to be with you. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Phil.
Tell me what you think of the Emmys last night.
I thought that the Emmys showed once again that American producers and directors, the writers and broadcast executives have no idea what the American people really want to see. I think that if you look at the statistics, viewership and otherwise, demographic and otherwise, you're going to see a significant drop-off in the numbers of people who are watching television. There is no doubt that their audience last night went up, and I think that's more the star factor and the celebrity factor. I don't think it has anything to do with any great love people have for these television shows. The viewership, as I mentioned, is off. The numbers of people are, yes, they're going to Hulu and they're going to things like YouTube and Netflix. But I think our message is a message that needs to be heard, and we will continue to spread that message.
We have Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. Doug, you want to comment?
Yeah, the first thing I want to say, Cal, is first off, you know, I'm something that you probably don't appreciate, and that's I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
I don't care if you're a gay man and a gay journalist. It doesn't have any. It's not a negative. It has no bearing on what I think. I just think that you should do your job as a critic.
I am doing my job as a critic, and my job as a critic is to praise these television programs for their quality.
Well, and if you look at the statistics that we have, you will see that the programs that we mark as the programs that are destructive to family interest are programs that do contain high levels of profanity, high levels of adult content, high levels of negative family message.
Give me an example. I'd like to have an example of these programs that you're talking about.
Well, the programs like The Simpsons, for instance, programs such as Modern Family. I think take a look at any of the Emmy winners last night, and you're going to see programs that are absolutely the kinds of shows that we're talking about. These are the shows that Hollywood is celebrating. You're talking about programs like I can't read my own writing. Here is a program that we found to be very, very destructive. It was Mata. I had to scribble it down.
How I Met Your Mother.
How I Met Your Mother. You don't know the show that you're criticizing.
How I Met Your Mother. That was the show that Neil Patrick Harris is on. It's not necessarily an Emmy winner. You're just talking about the show that he was on?
Well, yes, I'm talking about any program that was celebrated last night on the... here's another program. This is another program that we've taken great exception to. Homo. Homo? I don't know any program called Homo.
How are you spelling it?
H-O-M-E... Oh, Homeland. You don't even know what program it is you don't like. You just say if the show... Where did you get homo out of that? Where did I get homo out of that? It's H-O-M, and I think any reasonable adult who has a literacy problem, as I do, and I suppose if you want to laugh at that, go ahead. I'll give you a few seconds to laugh at that.
Shut up, bud.
I think that's a pretty good instinct. I think that's a great instinct. But it does not negate the fact that I have a concern for those things.
Well, you know, you may have a concern. I think this is a joke, Phil. This guy has just admitted that he has a problem reading.
Since when do you have to know how to read to watch television?
Well, at least you got to know the name of the show. And you're talking about a program that won an Emmy. Homeland has won multiple Emmys, as a matter of fact. And you thought it was about homos because you can't spell homo and you can't spell home.
What? Say that again.
Say it again. I said...
There's nothing to say again here, Cal. Homeland. And you thought it said homo. And that's because you don't know how to read. And you are the head of the National Family Council, or whatever the hell this thing is. Let me ask you a question, because I think this is a valid question. Okay?
Go ahead. Ask me anything you want.
Okay. Who do you represent again? I mean, you guys come out with these statements.
Well, we represent millions of American parents.
Wait, hold on. I'm not done asking the question. You come out with all of these statements about how the National Family Council, this and that, and you guys get all of this press as if you represent people. Who do you represent?
I'm trying to tell you that we represent millions of American families. Millions of American parents.
You have a membership role that goes into the millions, or is that just your email list?
Now, Phil, that's a good question. That's just your email list, isn't it?
No, that is, these are active participants in the discussion on the quality of television.
This is Margaret Gray. I'm a mother, so, Cal, you have to listen, because I think you're evading the question.
If I can finish, I'd be very happy to answer. These are active participants in the dialogue.
That when you say active participants, you're saying, are these people that you sent emails to and they returned the email with some comment?
I'm saying that these are people that we have emailed that have requested more information. We have sent out more information.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that these are people engaged.
Excuse me, I'm not done yet. Okay, you're the gay man and the gay journalist, and yet you are keeping me, the parent, from saying what I want to say.
All right, go ahead. Say what you want to say.
I'm also a parent, and you're keeping me from saying what I want to say.
No, I don't think that's the case, Ms. Gray. I think the case is you're keeping me... I know you're a parent, and I'm a parent. The gay has kept both of us...
No, she's not keeping me from saying anything. It's you, Mr. Watt, who is... And by the way, with a name like Watt...
That's the crude way that this man wants to take this conversation, Mr. Henry. I'm not exactly sure I can continue on the phone with you.
All right, let's. If we want to keep the dirty jokes to ourselves, that would be okay with me, Doug. If you don't mind.
Well, I mean, the guy comes on the program here. Hi, my name is Cal Wadd. You know, I didn't say, hi, my name is Cal Wadd.
I didn't say that, did I? Mr. Henry is the one that brought me on the program. I'm the council chairman, the grand national, the wizard. I'm not the wizard. I'm the grand wizard of the... I'm the president.
Are you the grand wizard? That's something that the Klan Klu Klux, right?
The Ku Klux Klan. Are you? You weren't a former member of the Klan, were you, sir?
No, I was not a former member of the Klan. I'm on a program that is ganging up on me, and I'm having a very difficult time trying to remember what it is I'm trying to say. I am the council president of the National Family Council, and I.
You're also barely literate.
No, I didn't say I was barely literate. I had a problem with the word home. You said it was homeland. Is that right?
Sir, that's pretty embarrassing. If you are the president of a family council and you can't read the word homeland and you think it says homo, you know?
No, I don't know. No. What are you...
Look, at Phil saying it. You thought that homeland was about homos because you can't read. That's number one. Number two is that you are the president of... Well, I forget what I was going to say now.
Yeah, I forgot what I was going to say.
And I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, that makes four of us, because I don't know what I'm talking about either.
All right, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's take a break. The National Family Council. Oh, I know. We were talking about demographics, bud. Write that down.
Yeah, okay. How do you spell it?
D-E-M-O.
D-E-M-O.
G. You look it up. How do you spell it? We are talking about demographics. We are talking about membership. We are talking about any organization that calls itself the National Family This. You know, Margaret?
Well, that's exactly the point, Phil. If you say that you're the national, if you get headlines as the parent this or the parent that, and put the word parent into any organization's name, and right away, brother, you have got a lot of people that either want to, excuse me for putting this way, hump your leg, okay?
All right.
Well, Phil, don't be a child about it.
Right.
You've got a lot of people that either want to hump your leg, or they want to give you the finger. So it's either the leg...
Yeah, it's either they're going to, you know, hump your leg or they'll finger it.
Or they'll fit well.
I understand what you're saying. We're going to be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with more of this. Really, it's an interesting conversation, I think, and it goes to I think it goes to something very, very important, and that is exactly who are these people claiming they represent when they say that they're the national family anything. I think you got to have some numbers to back that up, don't you? We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. PhilHendryShow.com, 855-500-7445. All right, welcome back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Next hour, we have Steve Bozell and Ted Bell with us, both of them doing the Pro Football Game of the Week on Sunday here on our digital headquarters, PhilHendryShow.com. We're going to talk to them about football week 3 in the National Football League. It was ugly. It was real ugly, and it's probably going to get uglier before it gets prettier. It's probably going to get much, much uglier before it gets more handsomer.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about football, Margaret, okay?
Yeah, talk about football. Why don't you mind your own business?
Is that right? Here, you see this?
Yeah. Ow!
Yeah. Do that again. You'll get it again.
All right, watch it, will ya?
No. I don't take crap from him. You, yes. But a guy with a plate in his head, no.
God, man, that was a cheap shot.
Really? Hey, bud, what's that above your head?
I don't know. It's ow!
Did it again.
Take it easy, will you, Margaret? The kid's not that bright.
Yeah, one of these days I'll get you.
You try anything like that, you'll never breathe another breath, free or slave.
Yeah, it won't draw a slave breath either.
You won't draw another breath, free or slave, huh?
Don't play it back, Phil. Don't give me the scrunched up eyes and, ooh, what does that mean? You're not the only one that gets to get off the funny ones. Occasionally, I get one off.
That's what she said.
What? You?
Hey, watch it, will you?
Kick his ass.
Take it easy. What is it with you guys? I thought we'd get to the whole show without a fist fight.
Excuse me for a minute. There, that's what I think of you, bud.
How'd she get to do that?
Will you not do that anymore, please? What an embarrassment. I'm on the radio here. I got God knows how many different people. We're trying to get things discussed. On the line with me here is Cal Wadd.
Yeah, what is that about?
That's what Doug asked. Let's not make a big issue about the guy's name, okay? That's his name. That's his name. I don't know what else you want me to say. Cal Wadd on the line with us here, along with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. We continue to discuss last night's Emmys, and we were getting into the idea of demographics. So, Cal, give us the numbers here, man, because I think it's a fair question. You're the National Family Council. You get a lot of publicity every time you make a judgment or you issue a press release concerning a program. You will say, well, the show is this, the show is that. And I always see the name of your organization popping up in at least the first or the second paragraph. And I think it's a fair question to ask, you know, what exactly are you, who exactly are you representing?
Well, Phil, I think it's important to understand, first of all, that if our name, the name of our organization, pops up in the first or second paragraph, I think that indicates that there is a national, a legitimate national platform that we deserve. If the press decide that we are an organization that is worthy of being heard from, I think you get your answer right there.
Phil, this is Doug Danger. Hold on. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, okay?
I've known for many, many years, Mr. Danger, that you're a gay man and a gay journalist.
Well, I'm reminding everybody of that because here's the thing. And I don't have a national platform like you do, all right? And I would dare say that I have more people sending me mail during the week than send your organization mail. And Mr. Henry asked a very good question. You're saying that the very press that you revile, the very mainstream press that you say is too liberal, the very mainstream press that you say gives too much play to these television shows that you say are destructive to the family ethic, you say that that very mainstream press legitimizes your organization because they put you in the first two paragraphs of a news story. Now, I'm a gay man, gay journalist. Okay?
I want to say one thing here, and I don't mind you bringing up the fact that you're a journalist or your sexual orientation, but you have dropped the participle, the participles, and it now is I'm gay man, I'm gay journalist, and you're fracturing the English language. I won't make it an issue for the National Family Council. This is just one writer to another.
Well, you're a writer. You're a guy that can't even read, but you're a writer.
Yes, I am a writer. I am a writer. Okay.
Well, but Doug makes a good point. You said that you can't read. You didn't know. You couldn't read Homeland.
I couldn't read Homeland, and to my knowledge, on the record, that's the only word that we have found that I can't read. All right.
All right, so How I Met Your Mother was not How I Met Your Mothra?
I think what you're doing is despicable.
Did you say that?
Yeah, Bill, he did, because before we went on the air, he wrote a press release saying that this guy, Doogie Howser, was on How I Met Mothra, and he said now all of a sudden Japanese-made TV show this, that, and you had to be corrected and told that's How I Met Your Mother.
I knew what the program was about, sir. I didn't say Japanese television this or that. I said it drew its inspiration from a Japanese science fiction movie. But I didn't indicate that the Japanese were producing the program.
But the point is, sir, that you could not read the word mother. You thought it said Mothra. And you also thought that Homeland read homo. So you can't read. You've already said that you're borderline literate. And you're the head of this National Family Council, and you're also a writer writing reviews of these. How is it that you can write but you can't read? I don't understand that.
Well, I think he's got. I think he has limited.
Excuse me. I'll speak for myself if you don't mind, Mr. Danger. All right.
The name is Danger, not Danger. All right. It sounds like either you've got an adenoid problem.
Maybe I have an adenoid problem. Maybe I do have an adenoid problem. What then?
All right. Fine.
My point, Mr. Henry, is simply this. I am borderline literate, and that is embarrassing, but I also am literate. So when I say borderline, it doesn't mean that I'm 100% illiterate. It means that I'm partially literate. I'm able to write, but there are some words that I have a hard time getting up on. Now, some of the words I'm getting up real good on, I have a dictionary that I took home with me, and I'm getting up on some of these words real good. I happen to like the band Led Zeppelin, and I looked up Zeppelin in the dictionary, and I was able to practice that word over the weekend. Zeppelin. And I can recognize the word Zeppelin. That may not sound like much to you, but that's a big thing for me. It's a very big thing.
That, and congratulations on that, sir, but that's got nothing to do with what we're talking about. When you think that...
You think his name's Doogie Howser. Wow. His name is Neil Patrick Harris.
Mr. Henry knows the guy's name. He made it. He misspoke. Isn't that right, Phil? Phil, ain't that right?
Yes, that's right. But, I mean, it doesn't make any difference. We're not talking about the same thing. This is an apples and oranges discussion. Good for you. I'm glad you know what Zeppelin... Oh, man.
Yeah, hold on. Let me. This is Bud Dickman. I'm going to take over here for just a second, Phil.
Well, Bud,
hold on for a minute. Just go and sit down. Now, Mr. Is the guy's name?
I think his name is Wad.
Yeah, Mr. Wad. Yeah, right. Do you ever know about a guy named Johnny the Wad Home?
Now, look, is this the guy with the plate in his head?
Yes, sir.
All right. First of all, I'm not going to answer any questions about Johnny the Wad Holmes because I have had it up to here with those jokes. Now, because my last...
Give me the... I'm sorry, sir. Bud, don't ever take over the microphone again. You understand?
Well, I was just trying to get this thing to move along.
I thank you very much, Mr. Wad. We will agree to disagree.
What a boy, that's a real sissy way out.
Well, that's the way it's going to have to be. Doug, I thank you very much.
Well, I just want to ask you something. Can I...
And, Bud, don't ever move into my chair and push me out of it like that.
Well, you got to get a grip, man.
He's trying to help me get a grip. Oh, was he trying to help me get a grip? Well, I got a grip, okay? I got a real firm, solid grip. All right, anyway, let me just say, Margaret, you're going to say something?
Yes, I think everyone out there, when you hear the name the National Family Council, the first thing you should do is look up on the internet and go to Google, or Google, whatever it is, it's Google, right?
Google.
Go to Google and find out exactly how many people do they really represent. I think you'll find that they don't represent hardly no one. And I'm sorry if that doesn't sound very bright. They hardly represent no one. I don't know.
They hardly represent anybody. I think you're absolutely right. And I think that is a very good point. And they call themselves the National Parent this, the American Family that, the National Family something else. Who are they speaking for other than the handful of people that man their office there in Washington, D.C.? We don't know. All right, coming back, we have Ted Bell and Steve Bozell on this weekend's football action here.